the rest. When you find your people, it's very easy to see how you could settle into the mundane and how wonderful it can be. You see that most clearly when someone dies. We discover something we often miss while we're living in it. The moments we thought were ordinary were actually extraordinary. Those boring moments are the moments we crave. You see, life is not built on the big moments. As Nick and Abby are finding out too, love is not built on big moments. You ever seen someone go on a date with somebody and they have all these flashy things? Oh, it's great, it's wonderful, we do all these great things, and then they're broke up about a month later because it's not what love is built on. Love is not built on big and flashy things. Faith is not built on big moments. Life and faith are built on steady moments. When we develop a God-given steadiness, we begin to realize that the ordinary moments were never ordinary at all. Through God, the mundane becomes meaningful. The everyday rhythms of life become spiritually significant. The small, faithful moments of life create an impact far greater than any of us will realize. This is actually what Scripture points us to. In Ecclesiastes 12:13, it says, "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind." In other words, the meaning of life is not found in the occasional spiritual high, but in the steady posture of reverence and obedience before God. In Hebrews 11:1, it reminds us of the fact that now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Faith, by definition, is not built in the spectacular or the visible. It is formed in the unseen, the uncelebrated, the everyday trust that God is still God, even when nothing dramatic in our life happens. I don't think anybody in here has had lightning strike a tree and God came out and said, "You need to get to church for them to come today," right? Nobody saw waters parted. Anybody see anybody walk on water and say, "I need to get to church"? Most likely you came because of small, mundane moments where people said, "Hey, would you like to come to church?" Life is not built on big moments because life is not ultimately held together by big moments. It is held together by a steady walk and a steady walk with God. And that steady walk, week by week, day by day, moment by moment, second by second, is what Scripture calls faith. Today we're going to explore the importance of appreciating the steady, becoming a steady Christian, and understanding how God often does this. His greatest work through people who are willing to be faithfully, consistently, and quietly steady. This lesson was based on a eulogy I did on Larry, if you're wondering. Larry, to me, was the definition of a steady person. Larry would sit in the back. He would smile at you. He'd consistently be an awesome human being and an awesome Christian and a great mentor and a great example to myself and so many others. But it's not just about Larry. I'm sure there's many people in your life you can point to and think about the steady influence that they had in your life. It's so much more important than the up and down influence of others. God designed life to be steady. That's point one. In Genesis 8:2, we see, "As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease." You see it in the pattern of the world. If you look around at the world, the way it works in perfect order, it has seasons. The sun comes up, the moon comes up, the stars come out, the lightning bugs are coming out, the fireflies, whatever you want to call them, they're coming out right now. I'm just so excited to see those come out. Think about creation itself. We need a steady amount of sleep, a steady diet, steady exercise, steady sunlight. You see it time and time. We need that as humans. Remove consistency and things begin to break down. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, "For God is not the God of" what? "Disorder, but of peace." When you see disorder in life, that is not from God. God is not a God of disorder. God created a world that flourishes through steadiness. We were just out riding horses the other day with Ashby and watching some of the cats and how they were interacting with Avit and how he's very in their face, but you're trying to be calm with them. But they thrive in environments that are calm and predictable because consistency communicates what? Safety. Plants are the same thing. They grow strongest when they receive steady care. Consistent conditions produce deeper roots, healthier growth, and greater fruitfulness. God built this principle into creation itself. We can see it everywhere we look if we choose to acknowledge it. Life flourishes where there is faithfulness. The Bible repeatedly points us towards balance, discipline, self-control, and faithfulness. Our lives should not be built on occasional moments of spiritual intensity. It's built on steady obedience, day by day, year after year. This is probably the first time Blazing Saddles has ever been quoted in a lesson ever, maybe. But Blazing Saddles, I watched as a kid. Probably shouldn't have watched it as a kid. Probably shouldn't watch it now. But I do remember Gene Wilder's character in there. And you have the quote on the right side of your thing there. And when I think of steadiness, I always think of Gene Wilder, how funny it was. He was this drunk in jail. He was this former sharpshooter, was really good, and Bart, the sheriff, was trying to get him to say, hey, like, you could be that person again. And he says, I can't. Look at my hand. And he raises his right hand, it's perfectly still. And the sheriff, Bart, looks at him and says, yeah, look at you, steady as a rock. And Gene Wilder so greatly goes, yeah, but I shoot with this one. It's such a stupid thing, but on the outside, we're a lot like this hand, right? A lot of times we look put together. We look like we have it all together, but on the inside, we're all like this a lot of times, right? Lots going on in our brains, lots going on, and steadiness is hard. It's hard to find two hands that match like that, right? It's hard to find people that are steady on the outside and steady on the inside. But that's what we should strive to be as Christians. We should be those people that are steady on both the inside and the outside. Jesus was that model. Jesus was that person who was steady on both sides. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. He does not change. He is the definition of steadiness. He has always been and always will be the exact same. Everything around us in life, though, is changing. Markets change, governments change, technology changes, feelings change. But who does not change? Jesus does not change. We are 2,026 years later, folks, and it has not changed. We still look to what? At this congregation, I truly believe what we try to do is go back to what the Bible teaches. We go back to what the early Christians were like. We try to emulate that as exact as possible because we know that the world is offering a bunch of unstable things, and we want the stability. We want what God wants because all these things that the world's offering, we have something new, we have something exciting at church. Come look at this. I don't want the new and exciting. I want the old and rooted. That's what I want. Christians' lives should not be built on emotional highs. It should be built on steady faithfulness. Emotions are meant to follow faithfulness, not replace it. I have a friend who recently left a community church, one of these mega churches in a different part of the world. And he said to me, and you know, we didn't really get into this until he started talking about it, but it was very interesting. He said, you know, I left the church there because we had thousands of people. He said, but every time I went to church, I felt like I needed to feel God. And if I didn't feel God, I felt like I was doing something wrong. We start to think that in life and in church, we have to have these big moments. We have to have these big feelings to find Jesus. And so what we do is we seek out these big moments. I've been to congregations, denominations, where they talk about the terrible sins they've done and how far they've came. And it was almost like just a contest to see whose sins were the biggest and who have overcome the most. If we don't have these big feelings, we don't have a relationship with God. So many people in churches today who think feelings lead to faithfulness. That is not true. When it's faithfulness that actually creates space for deeper and more stable feelings. I need to know that God is here no matter how much I feel Him or how much I don't. There are times in life when you do say, that's God. I can see that God's pattern a little bit, just a tiny bit. And it makes sense. You can feel some of it, right? But if you're always seeking these moments, you will never be satisfied. You'll never be satisfied. God does not show up all the time in these big things. He's not parting waves all the time. He's not having people walk on waters all the time. That's why they're called miracles. They do not happen all the time. Someone told me that birth is a miracle. I had an argument with a lady years ago. She said, birth is a miracle. Birth is not a miracle. It happens thousands of times a day, every single day. It is amazing, but it is not a miracle. A miracle is something that happens once in a lifetime. Jesus raising from the dead, that is a miracle. Do not water down what a miracle is. God does not show up in those miracles every single day. What he does show up is in consistency. Where does he come in the Bible? He comes in stillness. He comes in the quiet. When people think he's this big flashy thing, he is not. The world rewards speed. God rewards stillness. Psalm 46:10, be still and know what? That I am God. Be still. Not run around, not scream, not panic like there's a fire. We're looking ahead all the time as people for the next, right? Everything's the next. The next promotion, the next vacation, the next car, the next house, the next opportunity, the next big thing. The world says, what's next? God says, be where you are. When everyone else is losing their head, you keep yours, God says. Like Jesus in John 8:12, it says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have light of life. Like Jesus, be a true North Star to people, helping others find their way through the darkness. That's that steady presence. You have your life steady on the outside. On the inside, you're steady because it's rooted in what? Christ. And Christ is the definition of steadiness. And when you have that, you can help others. You don't even really have to do anything. The world is so unsteady and so unstable that if you are just a steady person, people will look at you and say, why are they the way they are? I want to be like that. You know why? Because we as humans have in our DNA that we crave steadiness. We crave it. We seek it out. So we try to find it any way we can. The problem is there's not enough steady people in the world. But you can be that true North Star to people. It says in Matthew 5:14 through 16, Jesus again talking, you are the light of the world. We sing that song. Do not let the world put your light out. Don't hide it under a bushel. Shine your light. And in Philippians 2:15, I love this. It says, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. Do you ever just come into your house, and we don't have a lot of light pollution at our house, which is really nice. And so you come in, and every time I get out of the car, not many people turn their outside lights on or anything. And so you come out, and you're like, wow, so many stars. You ever been like that? You just stopped what you're doing and just looked up and said, man, I feel so small. But those stars are so many millions of miles away, and they're still shining bright. That's the same way you can be. Throughout all of history, Larry talked about it. If you are just that steady example, you will not only leave ripple effects in your current timeline, but you will leave ripple effects throughout all of history. The steadiness is what leaves an impact. You can impact thousands and thousands of people by just being a steady Christian. And then when storms come in your life, and they will come, maybe some of you are going through them right now. We just went through one yesterday, a real storm, and I was talking to Lydia about that in her class. The storms come and go pretty quick usually around here, right? They don't stay for months. You don't have a storm like we had yesterday that's coming through and it's raining and raining and raining and it just stays there for months. Does it do that? I've never seen one like that. The storms are for a temporary time. It's the same thing in our life. Things come and go, but you will have storms, whether you're a Christian or you're not. Nobody knows whether something is steady until it is tested. Life will test us. Nick read about the foolish man and the wise man. Jesus said the foolish man built his house on the what? The sand. Not a good idea. And the wise man built his house on the rock. What should we build our house on? The rock. The storm came, the winds blew, the floods rose. The difference wasn't the storm. They both went through the same storm. We tend to ignore that. They both lived through the same storm. The difference was what? The foundation. Is your foundation on the sand? It's an easy analogy most of us learn from childhood about, and so we ignore it. But think about your life. Are you building things that on the temporary? Are you building your life worried about a promotion at work? I've got to get this promotion at work. I've got to get this promotion at work. I've got to get this job to be happy. I've got to do this to be a Christian. I've got to do this and this and this and this. Are you worrying? Are you building your life on things that will fade away? Or are you building your life on something that will never fade away? Someone once said, a waterfall wouldn't sound nearly as beautiful without rocks in its way. The obstacles in life will create music for us in our life if we let it. Many things that humans value in ourselves, our character, our patience, our endurance, our faith, where are they built? They're formed because something difficult stood in our way. Life eventually puts us all in a storm. Some of us have more storms than others. Sometimes life feels like we're a tiny ship in the midst of this massive storm, and we can't control the ship, we can't control the waves, we can't control the weather. So what can you control? You can't control the storms. What can you do? You anchor yourself and you hang on. What are you anchored on? A piece of driftwood? No. You anchor yourself on God. Hebrews 6:19. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. The Bible says it. It is where firmness and security lie. It's not in your spouse. It's not in your mom and dad. It's not in your community. It's not in popularity. It's not in social media. It's not on being an influencer. Firm and secure is with God. Steadiness isn't the absence of struggle. If you get nothing else from today, steadiness is not the absence of struggle. You will all struggle. We will all struggle. Steadiness is refusing to let go. No matter what happens, my faith will not be shaken. I will show up just like Larry did every Sunday that he could. Larry did not just show up on Sunday and Wednesday. Larry showed up in the cancer treatment places where he's making people smile and laugh. Larry showed up when he went to the car dealer, when he went to get his car fixed, and he'd bring them a sub. Why? Because Larry was that kind of a person. He was a steady human being who cared and shined a light. No matter what element he was in, he still showed up. Do you do that? Or you come into church on Sunday and you look like this, but inside you're like this. And when you leave here, you're like this. Guess what? You're not fooling the world. You might think the world sees you as this, but you're like this. Learn to love the repetition. 1 Corinthians 9, 24-25. Do you not know that in a race there are all the runners, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way that as to get the prize, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. This is where so many people quit. So many people do not like the repetition. You mean I have to go to church again? You mean I have to be this, I have to be a Christian influence everywhere I go? You mean it becomes a drag to them. Like there's something so great about the world. You know, I've been to parties. I was telling Lydia and my fraternity, we'd have these parties every single night. Literally, every single night there was a party of some sort. And you'd see the same thing. People would be having the time of their life. And then the next morning when everything was empty and you're cleaning up stuff, how that time of their life did not last. How this emotional high was so exciting, but it fell away so quickly. And when the sun came up and the rose up, they'd say, I got to get back to that was. That was where happiness was. And so they kept trying to get happiness by filling it with these empty things. This is where so many people quit, though. Everybody wants the trophy. Everybody wants to get to heaven. Everybody wants to do that, but very few people love the practice. Everybody wants success. Few people love the repetition. Professional athletes are the easiest analogy for this because the really good ones, when you're a professional, they have good ones and then you have great ones. Greatness is usually boring, all right? There's a lot of championships going on right now, the Stanley Cup Finals. West Virginia Mountaineers are in the College World Series for the first time ever. Yeah. and the NBA Finals. Greatness in all these sports are not made in all the flashy things, putting things on social media and saying, I'm doing this for a video. No, they're doing it because it's the boring stuff. It's built through repetition. The extra lap they take, the extra swing, the extra free throw, the extra hour that they put in. Anybody who's listened to Tom Brady talk or Michael Jordan talk, they'll say what? You don't become a great in the game, as Michael Jordan said, you become great in practice. That's where you have to do it. As a track coach, Frank Dick, I just saw this video this weekend. I thought it was really great, and I sent it to Lydia. He said, in this, he was talking about winning. He said, winning is being better today than you were yesterday, every day. It's the same thing with Christianity. I am not perfect. I will never be perfect. But every single day that I'm on this earth, I'm trying to be a better Christian than I was yesterday. Every single day. That's my goal. That's where the practice comes in. It's not the practice that gets me to heaven. I know that. But it's because I love God and I love what He has done for us so much that every single day I push myself further. Every single day. I lead singing. I'm not great at leading singing. I couldn't do the hand things forever. I still am not great at it. I'm trying. I don't care. I'll come up here and make a fool of myself, but I'm giving my best every single time. I wasn't the best scripture reader. I'm not the best preacher. But guess what? I continue to put practice in. I continue to, if there's a class that calls for me to teach, I'll teach it. I've taught every class, and I'm not bragging, from the preschool all the way through the adult class. You know why? Because I was asked to do that. I stepped up. That's what we do. We don't always have our best, but we grow into our best, just like an athlete. That's steadiness. It's not perfection. It's progress every single day. Coach Dick continued, you don't climb mountains by going around them or asking someone for a ladder. You learn to climb mountains by climbing mountains. That's how you climb them. You're never going to get better at it if you continue to say, no, 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 I can't, I can't, I can't. Can't is not a Christian word. Can't in this world is not a real world word. You can do anything you put your mind to. God has given us that ability, but we say can't, 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 no, 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 no. Stop it. You can do anything. The same is true spiritually. You don't develop faith by avoiding challenges. You develop faith by trusting God through the challenges. Prayer today, prayer tomorrow, scripture today, scripture tomorrow. Repetition, repetition, repetition. Choosing faithfulness over and over again. What do they have, musicians? Does anybody start playing guitar or piano and they're just perfect at it? No. Training, 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 over and over and over and over again. Hours upon hours. To be a true servant of God, you don't develop a faith overnight. It happens when you make prayer, Bible reading, worship, fellowship, obedience an ordinary part of your life. We have so many opportunities here. So many opportunities. The summer shindig's coming up. It is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time to get together because you get together with Christians from all walks of life that are on fire for God. Every church that I've ever been to in my life, I don't care if it's a denomination or here or anywhere else, you have the people who are super on fire for God. Small percentage. You have the people that are kind of on fire, kind of a little bit there, half and half. You have the people that just show up, right? You have a weekend prepared for you, this next weekend, where you can get together with people who are all on fire for God. And guess what? We all walk away from that, and I've done it for 19 years now, and there's not one year I have walked away and been like, man, that was awful. Every single year I'm like, thank God, that's what heaven will look like. People who are practicing every single day to get better. And the true spiritual growth happens when you love to learn the ordinary. Tom Brady loves football, right? Anybody who sees Tom Brady will know he loves football. He learned to love the repetition, the ordinary, the striving to get better every single day became something he loved. I'm not telling you that a Christian life is sitting here going, I'm sitting in a room and I'm just boring, I'm boring, I'm the most boring person in the world. I do not think I'm a boring person. I'm a very active human being, okay? I have lived a very full life and I love my life so very much. But my life is nothing without God. Everything that I thought was super exciting when I was a kid, and these are really cool things that filled my life, were very empty now at 44. I don't know if I'm, am I 44 or 43? I don't even know. Okay, I'm 44. I've lost track. That's okay. No, no. But these things I thought were so cool, these emotional highs that I had, and I had some really big highs, they didn't sustain, all right? I always talk about when I was in a movie in college. I went to a school of 800 people, and movies were not prevalent back then. I was in a movie. I was doing stand-up comedy in New York and L.A. I had people, before I left, were asking me for my autograph. I remember this. I was like, oh, you don't want my autograph. I don't want to give you my autograph. No, no, we want your autograph. You're going to be famous. And they always say, you're going to be famous. I didn't want to be famous. I didn't want to tell them at the time. At 22, I didn't want to be famous, but I didn't want to be famous. I had no desire for that. And so when I came back from New York and I gave up a lot of that stuff, I remember the same people that asked me for my autograph looked at me with such despite. What are you doing? You could have been something. Now look at you. Back then, my faith and my confidence was based on people and what they thought of me. And it really hurt back then. Today, I could care less what any of those people think. Today, I could care less what anybody thinks of me other than God. God will never look at me with despite. God will never ask me for my autograph. And that's okay. I'm glad to be a servant of God. The secret to it all is the sure-footed joy, right? I find joy in my life every day. There's so much joy in having two kids and a lovely wife and our little dog and our house and taking care of our house. My favorite moments are when we're at home, and we're very busy people when we do a lot of stuff, but my favorite moments are at home when we just get to watch a movie or just eat together or just have a conversation and just laugh together. The secret to all of this is that sure-footed joy. Habakkuk, which we don't go to very often, 3:19, there's some very lovely verses at the very end of chapter 3, the very end of a very short book, and most people have probably blown through it throughout their life. Habakkuk 3:19 says, "The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights." What's fascinating about a deer, and I did not know this until I was preparing for this lesson, but it is fascinating. I was really looking at this verse. They're incredibly sure-footed. You might not think about them. They have this like weird sausage body and they have like toothpick legs, but they are incredibly sure-footed. They won't step on footing that is uncertain. So their back feet land exactly, that's why you've seen them and you've seen like how they run very interestingly. Their back feet land exactly where their front feet stepped. Because of this, they can move through rocky terrain and scale steep mountainsides without fear. They know that their front feet have already tested it and it's safe for their back feet to be on. But what makes Habakkuk's statement even more powerful is the verses that come right before it, 17 through 18. "Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there is no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls," all these bad things, he says, "yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior." You see, Habakkuk's joy in God was not found in the physical things he had on this earth. And back then, they had to raise their food. They couldn't just go to Kroger and get food. When there's no food for you, you think there's a bad time, right? He said, "I will still have that joy in God because my life is rooted in God." The secret to all of this, if you want to put secret, it's not really a secret, is the joy is not pretending that everything in life is fine. Joy is not ignoring that everything is not fine. Joy is not filling your life with the big flashy things that distract you from everything not being fine. That's the problem with our phones right now, and everybody will say it. It's the exact same thing. The problem is this distracts us so much. Even if I hold it up here, you probably pay attention a little bit more, right? It's a distraction device. That's not where joy is found. Joy is choosing to trust God when everything is not fine. I still trust God. I've seen so many people that are Christians come through this door, and one word said to them, one thing's done to them, and they never show up again. Why is our faith not rooted in God? Why do we sit here week after week and our faith does not continue to grow roots? It's something I've asked myself since I'm a kid, and I might cry about it, but I've seen it so many times. So many people have sat in these seats where you're at. Some do a great job, and they continue to grow. and some never grow. Throughout life, our circumstances change, but God does not. The sure-footed deer isn't sure-footed because the mountains disappear. They're sure-footed because it knows where to plant its feet. This is how we as a people, as Christians, become steady. One faithful step at a time. So maybe the question, in conclusion, isn't how many big moments you can collect in life. That's what I thought as a kid. It was, how many big things can I put in my life? The real question is, what are you doing with the steady ones? The ordinary conversation at the kitchen table, the prayer you keep praying even when God feels quiet, the scripture you read by yourself, the decision to forgive and forgive again and forgive again and forgive again, the choice to show up, the repetition, the practice, the steps forward, the steady steps forward. That's where faith is built. Not the highlight reel, but the repetition you never post on social media. It's time we rephrase our thinking. We always ask, will I survive the storm? Instead of asking that, we should be asking, what have I been building when the sky was clear? And maybe you're here today. Maybe you have felt less spiritually stable. Maybe you've been chasing these big moments instead of building a steady relationship with God. Like that deer on the mountainside, you don't see the whole plan ahead. You don't see the whole path. You just know where to place your next step. So where will your next step be today? You cannot build on steady footing, steady life with God until you take the first steps towards God. So many people, it's a wonderful thing to see people come forward because you know they're saying, it's hard. There's people here. I was nervous. This was sixth grade. I didn't come forward. I wanted to be baptized. I didn't get baptized until I was like 17 because I was afraid to come forward. I understand there's a fear to it. But it is a beautiful thing to see someone say, I am ready to change my life. Because the same God who builds steady lives, and it's the same God who offers you a new life today. We know that hearing his word, we find in Romans 10:17, so faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. You've heard today that Jesus is the Son of God and that he's a steady presence. And that if your life's unsteady, that's where you have to anchor yourself. You need to believe. John 8:24 says, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Now is the time to take the step. If you hear and you believe, now is the time to take your step. Maybe you have never put on Christ in baptism. You can do that today. We're ready. Larry prepared this water. That's why I said it in his eulogy. Larry would love to have seen this water used. Larry made sure it was good because he wanted it to be used. That's what it's there for. We will be so happy to baptize you today. Or maybe you have not been doing what you should. Maybe you're not anchored. Maybe you're unstable and you just need prayers. I've told people before, I've sat in this church building when I was a kid, and I've heard people when I was a child walk out and they said they didn't cry enough. I don't think they were serious when they came forward. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. When you come forward, it is a wonderful thing. We're supposed to be able to pray together and pray for each other. That's what we're here for. And it's not my judgment to see how many tears you cry. I don't care about that. My judgment is not worth anything. And then you repent. Luke 13:3 says, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Repent means changing my footing. Confess, Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And that's what you need to do if you need to be baptized. Confess that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And then be baptized. We find that in Acts 2:38 and Mark 16:16. We've talked about the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people were baptized that day. It is important. And then live faithfully unto death. And that's where the practice, and that's where all this footing comes in. And that's where a lot of us are at today. And that's what we're trying to do. Get sure footing. Hopefully this lesson has helped you. But it says in Revelation 2:10, be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. If you're in need of any of these things, please come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.